Well, over the past few weeks, if you are visiting us, we have been looking at how God wants us to have an overflowing life. There was a little tiered thing here that drove me crazy because the water was trickling. But God wants us to have a life that's so full of His peace and His love and His joy that it spills over into the lives of people that we come in contact with. And John 10:10 is a verse that we've read at every one of these messages, and it says this: the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. But here's why Jesus came. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. And I love that. Not just life, get through life kind of life, but life that's abundant, life that's overflowing. And He wants it to overflow into the lives of people that we come in contact with. So if you kind of had a picture, we are really the top tier of the fountain. And God fills us up as we grow and as we grow in our relationship with Jesus. And all of a sudden it starts to spill out and it goes into the next level. And we looked at that next level last week. We said those are the people that are closest to us. And that's our family and our friends, people that we know and the people that we know a lot about. The third tier of the fountain is what we're going to look at today, and that's our community. God wants us to have an impact, not just on friends, not just on our family, but He also wants us to have an impact on the communities that we live in. So for the primary chunk of us, Fabius Poppy, but we've got folks from all over, from Syracuse and Kaz and all kinds of different places. And so today we want to talk about living out this abundant life in the communities that we live in. So I want to start, though, by looking at a couple pictures on the screen because it's going to help us to understand the text of our sermon today. This is by Ozzy Osbourne, the famous theologian there. He says, "Of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most." So I don't know if you can relate to that or not. "I wish I could lose weight as easy as I lose my keys, pen, cell phone, my temper, and even my mind." And then this last one, "This is when you know you're really in trouble. Nothing is really lost until your mom can't find it." I don't know how you moms do that, but I know if I've lost something, I say, "Marianne, it's on the counter and left behind." And it's like, oh my goodness, it's crazy. All of us have lost something somewhere along the way. And some of the things we lose are not that big. Some of us lose more than others. But I think the worst times for me is when I lose something that I literally just had a moment before. So like you're doing a project and maybe you're fixing something. You've taken something apart and you get done doing what you're doing and you want to put it back together and you knew you had the screwdriver because that screw is in your hand. It didn't come out by itself. And you look and you reach in your pockets and you go all around and you say, "Where's the screwdriver?" You find it, you get up. And you go, "I'm going to go to the toolbox." You go to the toolbox, you get the screwdriver, you turn around. What do you see? The screwdriver that you couldn't find. And that just drives you crazy. So after a few minutes of frustration, though, you usually are relieved and happy that you found that which was lost. But things like screwdrivers and car keys are not the only things that are lost in this world. And in fact, the loss of a screwdriver or your keys, even though that might be very inconvenient, is really not that big of a deal. I want you to listen to what Jesus talks about is lost in our world. I want you to read this actually with me, Matthew 18:11. Please read. "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." One more time. "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." I believe it's very safe to assume He did not come to save a screwdriver. He did not come to save the car keys. He came to save people because apart from the salvation that He provides, according to His word to us, the Scripture says that they're lost. And to be lost just means simply to be outside of Jesus, outside of His plan. It means to be separated from Him. And lost, to be lost means that you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and your Savior. And according to Scripture, if a person dies in that place, John 3:16 says that they perish. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not," what? "Perish, but have everlasting life." God's desire is not that any should perish. They are eternally lost. That's why, for those of us who know Jesus Christ personally, it's so important that we're concerned about the people in our community who don't know Jesus and don't understand how much He loves them. And we are given the responsibility to tell them. So in Luke chapter 15, there are three parables. We mentioned this a few weeks ago. In each parable, there's something that's lost. We have the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, then there's a parable of the lost son, the prodigal. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to read those each parables, and I want to point out one thing that Jesus says to us we need to be doing in relation to the lost people of our community. So we're going to start by listening to the parable of the lost sheep. Maybe you've said, I've read that just recently. I want you to listen with new ears for what God is telling us here. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 4, and I'll read. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he has come home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. First point for us to understand when it comes to loving our community, God wants us to seek those who are lost. God wants us to seek those who are lost. Our priority as a church needs to be on the lost people around us. And lost, not lost, they don't know where they're going. Apart from Christ, we need to be more concerned for them than for ourselves. And the tendency of many churches, and this just is because our selfish nature gets in there very quickly, the tendency of a lot of churches is to look out for our own needs rather than the needs of the lost. And we come together and we have a great time and we go home and then we don't even tell our neighbors what we've learned. And when you stop to think about it from the shepherd's perspective, it kind of makes a little bit of sense when we focus just on ourselves. So let's say a sheep, and I'm not a sheep farmer, so if you know the price of sheep, you can help me afterwards. But let's say it's $100, okay? Does it really make a lot of economic sense to risk $9,900 in livestock to go look just for one sheep? Wouldn't it be better to say, well, we're just going to count the cost of business. I'm just going to think, let's watch out for the only what we have and not worry about the one that's out there. Let's watch out for what we have. The only problem with that kind of thinking is that's not how Jesus presented it to us. He points out that we shouldn't be thinking that way either. So you look at verse 4 in what we just read here, in the New King James, it says, what man of you? So, or in other words, Jesus saying, who among you, or who in their right mind, might be another way you could say this, who in their right mind would consider such a thing, which is not going after the one sheep? So how many of you, if you lost a $100 bill, would go looking for it? If you lost a $100 bill, how many would you go looking for it? Right. If you dropped a $100 bill on the ground, you go, it's just $100. I got $9,000. You wouldn't do that. I'd pick it up for you. I would get it probably. A $100 bill has value, and we would not ignore it. And in the parable, we have to realize, again, we're not an agricultural society, but the sheep was the shepherd's livelihood. It was his cash. And if he lost one sheep, do you think that he would go looking for it? Of course he would. He would go look. But sometimes going to look for that sheep takes him out of the comfort of his home or where he was. And it could be uncomfortable. Sometimes you have to leave the couch. Sometimes you have to go into where it's dark. Sometimes you have to go where it's dangerous. Sometimes you have to stick your neck out. But a shepherd who loses their sheep will go out of their way looking for that one. So as a church, here's a question for us as the church. Do we really care about lost people around us? Or are we just focused on the $9,900 that we already have us? Are we really concerned for people who are out there that are in danger, who are in spiritual danger? Are we really concerned for the people that God placed in our time, in our neighborhoods, in our area? Are we concerned about them, or are we just concerned about ourselves? It's kind of a big question. I read the Outflow book this week. That last chapter, it just got me. There are people dying, and they're going to go to hell because I'm comfortable, and I'm not risking. I'm not stepping out of my comfort. The mission of Jesus was to seek and to save that which was lost. When Jesus left, who did he give that responsibility to? He gave it to his disciples. He says, go out, make disciples. Guess whose responsibility that is? It's our responsibility. That's what the whole Great Commission is about. Our mission statement, Pompey Community Church exists to meet people where they are, to help guide them to where God wants them to be by traveling together, becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We need to travel along. We need to care. God has placed us here to carry out the mission of Jesus. One thing we have in common, every one of us have that responsibility, not just me as a pastor, far from it. All right, God wants us to seek those who are lost. I just would challenge each of us to look at our own comfort, and are we stepping out and seeking like Jesus came? All right, let's read the parable of the lost coin. This is Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 8, where what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's a party. The angels are having a great time. They're rejoicing because this one sinner repented. So, second point, God wants us to rejoice when the lost have been found. God wants us to rejoice when the lost have been found. Again, we look at what we've been reading here. God has great joy when the lost are found, and so should we. Both these parables of the coin and the sheep highlight that we need to be moved into emotion with those who are lost, when they're lost and they're found. Is it true that God is in the life-changing business? He takes that which is broken and he fixes it. He takes those things that are bent and he straightens them out. He takes those who are lost and he finds them. And sometimes along the way, he allows us to be a part of that process with him. And as much as we should mourn over the things that God mourns over when we see sin and we see some of the terrible things that people do to other people, he also wants us to rejoice and to be filled with joy. And when you think about, again, you go to this, how much rejoicing we should do. In the parable we just looked at, how much was the coin worth? Does anybody remember? A day's wages. So I did a little Google search. Thank you, Lord, for Google. I said, what is the average American earn today? It was $211.36. That's the average. Okay? And earlier we talked about losing a $100 bill, and I know that math has changed a whole lot, but I still think that $211.36 is more than $100. Is that true? Is that still good math? Is that true? That still works, right? I think I would put in a lot of energy and effort to find that $211.36, and I would search, and I would search. And just the woman, just like the woman was looking for it, she searched high and low. When she found it, she threw a party. She was happy. God gets excited when lost sheep are found. God gets excited when a lost coin is found. He gets so excited that he throws a party. And you think about it, every time we get together here on Sunday morning, it's really just an extension of that party. We're celebrating God's goodness to it. We're celebrating the fact that many of us know Jesus. We celebrate the fact that some of you are in a journey of coming to know Jesus, trying to figure out what it means in your life and how you can walk in obedience to him. That is very, very exciting. So God wants us to rejoice. And if you haven't had the chance to rejoice over someone coming to know Jesus, I challenge you to tell somebody your story and find out what they know, and pray that God might open up doors. It's pretty exciting. One last parable, the parable of the lost son. We know him as a prodigal. This is in Luke chapter 15 and verse 11 on to 20. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. I want you to listen to this part. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's really cool. Third point, God wants us to keep looking for the lost. God wants us to keep looking for the lost. So what was that father doing? Of course, he could have been very angry. He could have been very mad. He embarrassed him. He separated the family. He took money that wasn't really his at that point yet. He really said to his father, I wish you were dead, when he asked for his money. But the scripture says, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. What does that mean? It means he was looking for him. He was looking for him. And you can kind of just picture him every morning waking up, going out to the horizon where his son had walked off, and just kind of scanned and said, not there. Gets to about lunchtime, goes back out again, and just you can kind of see him looking. Dinner time, before he went to bed, just looking, just hoping that maybe his son would come back. And when you think about it, he probably was out there praying, God, I pray that you would protect my son. I pray that you would bring him back. And you think about the kind of love that he had. He really put into practice what 1 Corinthians 13 defines, that he was patient, he was kind, and he kept no record of wrongs. That's a hard one. He didn't keep a record of wrong. And but he stood there, and one day, as he probably did, all of a sudden it looked like maybe somebody was coming over the horizon. And he kept looking and probably rubbed his eyes out a few times. And all of a sudden he realized, that's his son. You know how you know if you're a parent, you can look at your kid. You know that's your kid. Same head shape or big, whatever it is they have. But there he was. And the son, of course, had been practicing all these things, what he was going to say. And he said, no. And he runs and he rejoices. He said, this is a day of rejoicing. This is a day of reunion. This is great news. My son who was lost is now come home. My son who was lost has been found. The son who was not here has returned. What an awesome day. What an awesome day. And he rejoiced. And if you read the rest, he threw this party that was crazy. Got his brother a little bit mad. But that was really, I think there's a book by Tim Keller, The Prodigal. I'd encourage you to read it. It's really awesome. Very, very powerful. Now, I know that not every story ends like this story. Not all news is good news. Not everyone has come home yet. Maybe you have a prodigal in your family. Maybe there's still a spot missing at your table or a room that is empty. There's still those who are lost. I believe with all my heart that God the Father searches like that father did for his son on the horizon and continues to look and continues to care. And I guess the question for us here at PCC, are we as concerned as that father was for his son who was lost, for those that don't know Jesus? Are we as concerned? And are we looking for, or are we just comfortable to do what we do on our daily basis? And the challenge for us is that we would be stretched beyond our own comfort, out of our own ease, and to be looking and realize the blessing that's there. I want to close by reading a story by one of the writers of our book called Outflow. It's Pastor Steve. And so I just want to read, this is a section, it was a help section that came with what we're doing here. And I think it really, really puts into perspective what our picture, and as we look at people in our community and have the same attitude. So as Pastor Steve was very frustrated with the pressures of trying to encourage his church to reach out to their community. At the end of a long day, he pulled in a Taco Bell drive-thru. That shows how frustrated he was. He drove to Taco Bell to get something to eat. In the silence between shouting his order into the microphone and picking up his food, God spoke to Steve. It was not like an audible voice. It was a mental whisper. He said, Steve, open your door. I have a present for you. And feeling a little silly, Steve stopped the car, opened his door, and there grounded in the pavement was a scarred and tarnished penny. Gee, thanks, was the sarcastic thought that went through his head as he picked up the practically worthless coin from the ground. But then God's quiet voice spoke to him again. In the world's eyes, a lot of people in this community you're trying to reach are like the penny. They're dirty, flawed, imperfect, and forgotten. Even churches don't see much value in them. Through some eyes, they may look like shabby. They may look shabby and worthless, but not to me, Steve. To me, they look just like you. They're precious beyond measure. Tears streamed down his face that day. Steve experienced God's love that day. Steve drove home with a bag of burritos, a penny, and a new understanding of the value that God puts on people. My prayer is that we would just start praying for that heart, for the people of our community, to love them, to see them as God sees them, created in His image, those that He sent His Son to die for. How valuable are the people around you? God wants us to seek those who are lost. God wants us to rejoice when the lost have been found. And God wants us to keep looking. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, each one of us who know you today, who love you as your children, were lost at one time. And we were bound to perish apart from you for eternity. But someone loved us enough to tell us about you, to tell us about what you did on the cross, to tell us that we needed our sins to be forgiven. And God, I am so thankful for those people. I'm thankful for the people at Orin Community Church where I grew up who taught me Bible stories. I'm thankful for Mrs. Mix and Mrs. Shuffleberg who shared flannel graph stories with me. I'm thankful for Cortland Bible Club Camp where I memorized some of your word. And I thank you for the people in Germany in the church I went to where I heard that I needed salvation. I thank you for the people in Texas, the Christian Arts Center, who received me and loved Wendell, not because of anything I had or could do for them. They loved me. And I thank you for Fairview Baptist Church, where I went forward and I asked you to come into my heart. That's because people loved me enough to share that with me, Lord. I pray that we would be one of those steps in somebody's life, that through an act of kindness, it might be a glass of water, it might be picking up trash, it might be hundreds of little different things that we do, it might be part of the process of helping people to see your love as it flows out of us and we share with them. Lord, I pray that we would be serious about reaching the lost and see them as you see them as special and beautiful and worthy of your salvation. So thank you, Lord. I pray as we go from here and we celebrate the rest of this weekend for Memorial Day that we would enjoy each other's company, we'd be mindful of those who've paid the sacrifice, and that, Lord, we would tell someone about you. It's your name we pray, Jesus. We all said together, Amen.